Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the season finale of the Motherland Fort Salem AfterBuzz TV After Show. That's right, it's the season finale. We're talking episode 10, Witch Bomb. And by we, I mean myself, Kevin Allen, along with my fantastic unit, Tori Weaver.
Yes. Hello, everyone. So glad to be here. We've made it to the finale. My guns are loaded to discuss what is going on.
Brian Santos.
Hello. I got my commander shirt on, kind of like olive green, no military ads. Come on. Here we go. I'm ready for this. Lock me down. Adil. Goodbye.
Gunner Texera.
I got my army green jacket on. I just came in, and I'm ready to break down this magically awesome season finale with a very special guest.
See, I tried to go military with the Witchland theme in all black, and it's not working out for me. So I applaud you guys. This is seriously the best unit. You guys are way ahead of the game on here. And yes, we do have a very special guest. That's right. The founding father of Motherland himself, Mr. Elliot Lawrence.
Hi. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Thank you so much for being here. We're thrilled to have you here. I'm sure the chat is losing their minds if they haven't already figured it out.
I hear some
of them have. All right. Well, Brian is keeping the eye on the chat. Thank you, our fans, for being here and for making us ESPN of TV Talk. Brian, it'd be chiming in with your thoughts and questions. So please drop them there and we will do everything we can to get in. But we keep in mind, we are breaking down an amazingly eventful episode. We're going to talk about Anacostia and her siding with Scylla. We're going to talk about Tali and her clashing with Alder. And then we're going to talk about the Camarilla and they're attacking our unit. But before we get into those details, you know how I like to start things off? I just want to hear everyone's thoughts. Tori, what'd you think of this episode?
Oh, I was shook. I'm still low-key very shook. It was to the point where like I was yelling at the TV. My roommate was like, what's going on? Because he hasn't watched like everything. So I was trying to break it down. I was like, you need to watch because we need to be in here together. Like I felt like I was there. I really felt like I was there. I think this was a beautiful way to end off the season. It was, I mean, I'm glad that we got a season two. I'm glad that I know that because I was just kind of like, what is happening? But it was just, it came so full circle, hence why having the same outfit from episode one, don't do me. But it was just so beautiful to watch. Like I felt, it was amazing, honestly.
Oh
like,
my
it was
God.
Really good. It was a really good finale. Y'all know I'm skeptical of almost every character except Abigail, but this was really good. Every character was just like really got their own time to really develop, and we got to see how they developed. And I'm gonna stop talking, but I really liked it.
Oh my God! Hi, thank you.
The thing I kept saying to myself as I was watching this episode is, oh, so and so is revealing themselves. There were a lot of revelations, deep, earnest character stuff that really changed opinions that have been building all season long. And now we get to like see them for who they really are. And it was so rich and true. And I just loved it. This was quality television and writing. Yeah, Elliot. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
I can't. Okay.
We're not
keep
lying.
Going.
Here.
Keep going.
Okay. Well, yeah, Wyatt, why don't you keep it going?
It was amazing. I don't want to like give away too much right now because I want to like really dive in when we get to the topics, but everything just super high level was so great. Echoing exactly what Tori said, it was such a great way to end the season. And I 100% agree. If I didn't know that there was going to be a season two, I would have been like on the floor. Like, no, that's not how it ends, yo. Like, so I was so happy that I have that in my back of my mind because at least I'd be like, okay, at least we're going to get another more development to these like stories that we got because it was so amazing to see. And Tali girl, no, don't do it for her girl. Don't do it.
Oh, I can't wait to dive into Tally's.
Tally. Oh, my goodness.
Gunner, let me hear your thoughts.
You just reminded me, Brian, of how upset I am with my girl Tally. You all know I've been the biggest fan. So I was like, oh, like, Elliot, I hope you're ready for all the applause. I said, oh, that's right. I'm mad about that. I forgot. I was like, Wait, we left off. And if we had not found out, what's going to be my big reveal is that we have a season 2. And I'm so excited because I'm absolutely obsessed with this. Thank you, Elliot, so much for creating this amazing show. We cannot wait to break it down right now.
Well, thank you guys for paying attention to it and feeling it as you clearly do. It's like literally you guys are like, this is like writer's Christmas morning, like to hear that. I don't know, that it wasn't just like a cool show and had some moves and had some surprises, but like everybody, like you guys are making me feel this, but in terms of the response to the show, people are just really like biting into it and like gnawing on the bones and like clawing at it and more and more and more. And even some of the early critical response was like, it's a cool show, but why couldn't they have shown this? Or why couldn't they have shown this? Which to me is wonderful. And I want to give all of that, but you know, it's a season, but let me tell you, we're gonna pay. I mean, we end in, as you guys are saying, in such a complicated place that to it's been such a joy and a challenge to like figure out those threads. And like, how about Willa though? I mean, cooking some mushrooms. You were supposed to bring me my daughter.
I had that call for so
You had it. Okay, you had it. How long did you have that call?
We've all been sitting on that theory. I think at least
I didn't see that.
Was.
I was like, I don't know if I was sitting on it, but yes, we've been.
I hope at least
Gunner's been good about predicting stuff.
At least if Gunner's you saw it coming, I hope you liked the execution because I personally love that sequence. It's so great to be off base in that sequence and in the real world. And it's like, I love that country music song that's playing because it's sort of. It sounds like a Tammy Wynette song, and yet it's about atheism.
Stand by Your Man. Oh my God.
And so it's like, it's kind of alternate, and it fits the alternate universe anyway.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was raised on country, so like I just felt that. It was very authentic, but I didn't catch the lyrics. And
yeah, they're really weird. So rich. I know, it's pretty deep. It's pretty deep.
So one of my, I don't want to call it a criticism, but one of the comments I kept making at the start of the first couple episodes was how I just wanted to see more of the world. I wanted to see what it was like off base. I wanted to see what the civilian life, if there were witches that were part of the private sector. And I felt like by episode 3, I got what I asked for. And I just kept applauding the world building and how it was still character driven. It wasn't world building for the sake of world building. And it just felt like a fully realized universe. And at the top of this episode, like, I thought my TV had just flipped to a sports commercial because we were at this soccer match and the tone was all different. It took me out of, like, I guess my comfort zone of, like, I'm ready to watch some witches fight. And so it was a really nice way to shake me up going into another spree attack.
Totally.
And that line of our ancient enemy has returned, I was like, okay, what do they mean by that? Like, the witch's ancient enemy, the spree's enemy? What are we getting into? Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking about that a lot. So
yes, please.
Let's start with Scylla, because she is spree. She has the ancient enemy that they're referring to. And as much as she was spending a lot of time with Anacostia, I felt like she was doing it in a Hannibal Lecter style and very antagonistic against Anacostia and by extension, Fort Salem and the U.S. military. So I took that first line as meaning, the military is the ancient enemy. What were your thoughts?
It's not. I mean, that has been historically the enemy of the spree because the spree have a very compelling point, which is that conscription is another form of slavery. So you are dictating witches' entire lives from the time that they're 18 until they die in combat. That's a big deal. And that's the spree's big point. So that has been the spree's thing, but what we unpack a little bit in 10 with the attack when they're in the Tarim Basin, and as soon as we pick up in season 2, is that there is somebody who's so much worse than the spree because they are somebody who literally whose only aim is to wipe the stain of witch blood from the earth forever. Genocide. And they were the people that were behind the Inquisition. And they were the driving force behind so much horrible shit in history. And what they've always been trying to do is wipe witch bloodlines from the earth. That's what happened to Abigail's family in episode 5. It was made to look like the spree, but it was false flag. It was a false flag. It was like, let, because the other thing about the Camarilla, who are these big horrible people, is what they want most is to turn the world against witches. Witches occupy a really unique place in this universe. They are the heroes. Mm-hmm. They are the soldiers. And yet they are still other. And yet they don't pay the same taxes as normal people. And that, you know, it's an other thing. So the Camarilla is so scary. Again, they make the spree look like, let's have them over for dinner. But even from day one, I've always wanted to not have it be just a bad guy enemy. Like, yes, they do terrible, terrible things, but what are the circumstances that made that acceptable for Scylla, right? Mm-hmm. She saw her parents killed in a really, really brutal way. She lived in the Dodger communities, which is what you do if you're a witch and you're trying to hide. Mm-hmm. So they don't have you for your whole life. So she saw a lot of really, really dark shit. So I've always wanted to paint the spree as not just bad, but layered and gray. And you can kind of see what they mean, but their methods are terrifying. So we'll only get deeper into that next year.
Well, and I'll say it's effective because like as a viewer, that sequence where Scylla and Anacostia are sharing their stories, you know, that they, like I said earlier, they opened up, it was very earnest and they related to one another. And you've definitely felt for both sides there. Mm-hmm. And also, I assume it's effective because Anacostia really sees the potential for good in Scylla and that there is a just cause in her quest. So Tori, you've been Anacostia's cheerleader from the very get-go. I want to hear your thoughts on that scene.
This is just a lot, and I know that the chat, I know that our viewers are waiting for me to say something about Scylla because y'all know I don't like her. I've never liked her.
You want better for Rael?
Yes.
Tori. I know you.
Yeah, no, I'm not even going to front because Elliot is here, y'all. I did not like Rael because she was breaking all the rules. I didn't like Scylla because she was doing too much. But
you like Anacostia.
Yeah, I like Anacostia. I'm like Abigail's biggest fan, but Anacostia is like next to
mine. Oh, I love Abigail.
Been through a lot. Like Anacostia has been through a lot. And I think even though she comes off as very just kind of like play by the rules, yep, I think she gives everyone the benefit of the doubt in some sort of way. And we definitely saw that here in Scylla. Like, and honestly, even though I wasn't Scylla's biggest fan, I never thought that Anacostia was just out for Scylla. I never got that vibe. Like, I never thought that she was just picking on her because she simply didn't like her. Like, I never thought that dynamic was that. And I'm really glad that in the finale, we really got to see what exactly that dynamic was. And I appreciated how even though they are on opposing sides, they had something that kind of made them see each other as people and not like aside from witches, aside from spree, aside from being in this like cell with no windows. Exactly. And so I really just liked how they were able to identify each other as people and find a way to kind of find a middle ground. Like even if I don't think they're going to agree on everything, I don't think that conversation changed, you know, how they feel, but I think it definitely said, you know what, I've seen some things, you've seen some things that we both don't like and have changed us forever. Let's figure out how to move past this for our greater good. Even if it can't be for everyone, let's figure out a way to save ourselves and our souls. So I really liked that scene a lot, actually.
I love it. And I love it too, because what you realize at the end is that Anacostia has been playing like a layer on top of a layer on top of a layer, because she is also, you know, she is touched and they find that humanity and commonality, which is not easy for them. But Anacostia also knows she's valuable. You know what I'm saying? And when we see that she followed her, that's going to open up a whole storyline next year in the outside world, where we are actually embedded in a spree cell, which Willa is in charge of. So that was one of the things about season one that was like, I wish we could see more spree, and I want to give everything to you guys, but there's only so many things you can fit in, which is why I want to do some graphic novels and like spread this world out. I think you guys are going to love about season two is that we are in a spree cell. We get to see how that works.
And
unpack this thing where, you know, we have this genocidal enemy. You know, the army and the spree have been fighting. You know what? Maybe this is a bit more important, because they want all of us gone. And I always love like enemies coming together. And anyway,
One thing I noticed in the show early on is that it was the title Motherland Fort Salem. And I was like, yes. Does that mean season two is going to be like Motherland Mississippi Blues? And then we're going to Motherland the Last Frontier? Or like are we going to bounce around and see different sides of this world? Because like I said, it was so expansive of a world you got here. So yeah, when the more we got to see a little bit of the spree, I was like, oh, I hope that's all season two is just Motherland, different perspective.
It totally is. And I don't want to spoil too much about that, even though it's not like the most gigantic spoiler, but I don't want to tell you quite yet, but we are in a new game the next year because after basic, you know, you've got to learn some new shit. And let me tell you, the magic that they're learning in the next phase makes the stuff that they learn basic. As cool as it freaking was to like dent a wall and do that stuff. You know, if you're fighting the kind of enemies that these people are fighting, the training is going to amp up in a really cool way. I'm such a nerd with the magic. It's like my favorite. I love it so much.
Me too. I love a good witch, a good fantasy, all that kind of stuff. So fun. Yes.
I'm kind of relieved that next season's not going to be about War College. Like as much as I would love to see what that's like, I kind of appreciate
it. I'm not saying it's not, but it opens up the world, which I think is what you're getting at.
Well, what I mean to say is, as much as I was initially disappointed that the girls didn't make it into War College, that they got like the short end of the stick, I was like, no, this is actually way cooler though. We get to see them in action and really use their skills. And none more so than anybody than Tally. Tally was all over that mission.
She was she's
everyone's eyes and ears. She's up front with Adil and almost calling the shots. And Gunner,
shots.
We've dubbed you the biggest Tally fan. So let me hear what you thought of that scene.
Oh, I was saying from the very beginning, I know Tally is so much stronger. I've watched every interview. I just know she has so much more power. She is our character who is going to bloom into this amazing force. Like we know. We haven't gotten to see Abigail's power as much, and we know Raelle has like this destiny. She's the one that has this great gift of a power, but you don't know what it is. Tally is the one that's just like, you're going to underestimate her, and it's going to be your biggest mistake because she can literally see every layer, every dimension, and I cannot wait to see her do it more once she gets unbiddied, right?
I don't want to confirm or deny.
Is that even a thing?
I feel a little goofy even pretending that Tally is going to be 90 years old for the next hopefully 7 seasons. But
I was like, come on, makeup.
I don't want to spoil anything, but you guys are kind of right. I mean, yeah.
But still, that was a big moment for her to make that decision. She's been fighting with Alder all episode.
But let's think about this for 1 second. Think about the connection that is part of Biddyship. It's deep, it's psychic, and you might cut it, but it never completely goes away.
Anyway.
You know what I thought was super interesting was the fact that she didn't get as old as the other biddies. So that's why I was like, that's what I caught at first. Because I was like, oh, she just got like some gray hair and a little bit of wrinkles. But
she still looked a little bit snatched, right? She was okay.
Yes, so. I was like, come on.
Yeah, I was like, it's true. It's true.
She was like Eileen Fisher. She was like, I'm a cute old person.
Right.
But that's what I thought was super interesting. I was like, I obviously think there's some kind of way that she can become like unbiddied or not a biddy anymore because she didn't become a completely different person. So I'm like, oh, girl, here we go. Let's see.
Yeah, but you guys are right to interpret that is a deep thing that will be unpacked for the entirety of season two.
I like that.
Okay, well, that changes my entire perspective on like half that episode. Because I just kept thinking like everything that she believed in has failed her. She like everything she bought from them that was sold to her as part of being a part of the military has completely let her down. And she's calling out Alder to her face during a mission. Alder's clapping back. They're getting in a fight in the middle of a cave, like knowing that there's enemies everywhere. They're gonna die. And I was just like, oh my god!
But Alder gets her, man. Alder gets her with that speech. She's like, you know, you don't know what I've seen. And like I was saying earlier about the Camarilla and the Inquisition. I mean, that was what Alder and her sister were trying to escape. they were trying to get the hell out of Europe to try to live. And so we're going to get into all of that stuff. It's so cool.
Yeah.
What I love about this is like the world, it just keeps giving. Like there's so many like pockets to go into, and like we're going to get into the male perspective of witchhood, which I think is gonna be really fun.
Yeah. Next year. Come on, hot man.
Totally. It's just another way to unpack matriarchy in a really cool way. So we're having so much fun.
Yeah, it was so funny. I wanted to mention about Alder because last episode, everyone was like freaking out about, or was it last episode or the city drop, right? Anyways, about her decision, you know, and I went to bat. I was like, Lynn, girl, I'm right here with you because I feel like I would have made that same decision.
Me too.
That was a difficult decision that she made. And that's why I love how you said, like, she laid it in tally. She's like, girl, don't come for my decisions. Don't act like you know, because you're just a private. This is like, you're like dipping your toes in this water. I've been here.
Yes.
I've been here and back
527 years she's been doing this shit. And Tally's trying to tell her some shit. But she listens to Tally too. And I don't know. I love that scene.
Mm-hmm. After talking with Lynn on our last episode, I was completely convinced and like switched. I was like, okay, you're right. I get it.
She got older. You, huh?
Yeah, she totally did.
Oh, yeah.
She's very convincing. She knows her character so very well. And so then hearing her kind of reiterate that in this episode, I was like, all right, I can't argue anymore.
You can't come for her. She has been through it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so when they come out of the cave and they're surrounded by this group and like their pilots are strung up on trees and they're light, like it was blood and fire.
Yeah.
I was like, I will never, ever question Alder again. And I really felt like I felt what the unit did in that scene.
Oh, that's so good. That's what we were after. We just wanted to be so horrible and just nasty. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad it played that way for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, oh, yeah, from Brian, top to bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Did it play for you, Gunner, like that? I get you making a face.
That whole scene just stressed me out because I was so worried almost it was going to cause PTSD to Alder because we know she's one of the baddest chicks ever, but even the strongest have their fear. So I almost thought she was going to get too overwhelmed with seeing her.
She was.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But she let it fuel her instead of letting it like
destroy her.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I was so worried that it was going to be Rael and Tally and Abigail have to fight to hold together. But I'm so glad to see her push through it and be like, you're back.
Gunner, she pushed through it. It was like witnessing a nervous breakdown. That was like literally her trauma, like her PTSD therapy. And you know, and they had that magic dampening technology and it was, you're right. She pushed through that shit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, right when they had the lady hung up. Now first, I was like, now who the hell is that? Up on the street.
The deal's aunt. Be nice.
But I did not. I'm gonna be honest. I was like, who is that? But then when Alder was like, you know, they dressed her up like my sister, I said, oh, this is bad. This is bad. Mm-hmm. Like that's honestly, that is like a below the belt, like your mama joke. And it's just like you mean like it was just so it was so below the belt. I mean, it, you know, everybody says things that are hurtful in war. Like, I'm not saying they have to be friendly, but
totally.
I think that was just kind of like, honestly, honestly, for me, when I first saw that, I knew it was going to be something terrible. Like, I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know who was going to attack, but I think that sign was a very strong message. And like you guys said, with the PTSD, if some, my sister, you going to try to dress up like my sister? Oh, I am triggered, and now we are beefing real hard. So I was just, like you guys said, like, it was just really nice seeing Alder use that to fuel her, because it was a very, like, touching situation where she could definitely could have been like, you know what, this is a little bit too personal.
Yeah.
But like you said, Alder has been there, done that, brought it back, reversed it, and she already knows how to get through this. And so I was just so, you know, I'm not the biggest Alder fan, but I was very proud of her in this moment.
Mm-hmm. It was funny too. I mentioned also in the City Top episode, I was like, she sent these girls out and she could have gone and did it herself. Like, girl, teleport there, take care of yourself. But obviously she's a general, so she's not going to do that. So I love how in this moment when she had to be in the thick of it and go for it, she was like, you know what? There it is. 300 years of training. It's just going to pack. And like, I was like, all right, girl.
She's going to turn it around, because let's not forget that Alder ended the Revolutionary War in an afternoon.
Mm.
I didn't realize it was an afternoon.
What can't do?
I mean, she's got incredible stuff that we've never even seen, which is what the early American witch military was built on, which is their fearsome weather magic. So we haven't even seen what Alder can do with hurricanes and tornadoes and all of that like epic battle shit, which we will get into in season two.
Black Lightning was pretty boss.
I love some Black Lightning. That took a long time in VFX just to get to have that exact right sauce on it. It was. Mm-hmm. I'm glad
it looked really good. Nice. For television, you don't see the stuff that usually looks like that. Something I've never seen before that also looks that good.
Oh, that's very kind. We had brilliant VFX people, folks in Montreal. They were geniuses, and they would just keep trying because I can see the magic in my head, and it takes a while to get it there sometimes. Also with the vocal stuff.
It's really neat. As powerful as Alder is, though, I wanna mention, and correct me if I'm wrong, Elliot, that she was pretty damn vulnerable being out in that space, because once her biddy got hit, and I realized if you hit a biddy, you hit her.
Yep.
And so there's like 10 targets to choose from to attack, take down Alder. I thought that was significant, and it said a lot too about what she was risking just being on the front line.
Absolutely. And I also think it speaks to her denial about the Camarilla, because there were a few moments in the season where people were like, especially Isadora was like, it's exactly like what they did to the Bellwether people, like, hi. Mm-hmm. Like the thinking about PTSD and denial and buried memories, like that also plays into her state in 110. But as you guys say, she got it back and whipped their asses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, she definitely kept this terrifying techno witch group out of the fray. Not everyone was aboard the helicopter, so she had to make one more tough decision, and she did it exactly the way that she said that she has always made decisions. Gunner, what's wrong, man?
You're mad at me? Are you mad at me?
No. Oh, not mad at you. Not mad at you. It was great television. I'm mad at Alder right now.
I mean, that whatever that thing that whipped around the helicopter and blew up the one next to it, I was like, you gotta go. Like, because that came out of nowhere in a second.
Horrible decision. And like I was saying, you know, I think if Alder had been in her right mind about some of this stuff, it would have been a bit more supported as a mission. But it was going south so quickly and so dramatically. And with the biddies down and the emergency biddy ship of Tally, they had to get the fuck out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I think it just makes for great television when you always have that girl go moment. And I know that, like, I am a lover of Game of Thrones, and I know that, like, there's always times where you're like, get out of there, and it's always like somebody, you know, that's like left behind, and you always have to make that tough decision. And I thought that was another element that just made this episode so great, because we were in that tough moment with them, you know what I mean? It was just just kind of like, get out of there, go. Even though they were leaving some of our favorite characters, you was like, you have to go. Like, I felt like I was a witch too.
That's what I want the show to do, is make people feel like witches, by the way. So,
yes. What I want to say, I might be controversial, but I would have let that kid.
No, please. Do it.
Just, you know what? The kid, fend for yourself. I'm getting back on the bat and I'm going. Like, goodbye.
This kid is going to jump out of here at the worst time. Just bye. Just bye.
Right.
You made your choice.
More importantly, I want to know why did Rael give the kid to Abigail? Abigail is the much better. Why didn't we have them like just walking with their backs to like the bat and backing up together? I was like, why did you hand her off? What Rael? What are you? Did you guys learn nothing in basic training? Did you learn nothing?
Keep covering each other's back. Like
Tori
she
was say. Late. Oh. She was always late. So no, she didn't learn anything because she was always late to play.
And then they're on the ground together, about to die, and then what?
Yeah, that was my question.
Well, I want to tell you, I want to
mushrooms talk everywhere.
A little bit about that. You guys remember when she touched that thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we've been talking about this.
Yes.
And did you notice how the witch bomb had a strange effect on the landscape, and it sort of started to rewrite nature in a fungal, in a very fungal way?
We are
talking about some deep necro mushroom shit.
Ooh.
Coming down the pike, and it even ties in, like, we'll find out very late in the season, but it ties into the formation, the founding of Fort Salem in a very deep way. But that sentient mushroom in the Necro building is going to play a big part.
Really?
Yes.
So okay.
Weird. So weird. And then I had Willa cooking mushrooms. I guess I'm mushroom obsessed.
I couldn't help but notice like that there were mushrooms were so close back to back, and I was like, what does it all mean?
It's gonna pay off in a really cool way.
Okay. I really look forward to it. And as much as you dropped some amazing truth witch bombs on us tonight, we were hoping we could do a little Q&A with you, because there's so like much more to talk about with the series. Sure. Not just things in the future, but things that we've already seen.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I know Brian is watching the chat. So if you guys are in the chat, please drop your questions for Elliot. We'll try to get as many as we can. But
I have one if you want to start with me. You.
Okay. We'll start with you, and then I'm going to jump to Tori.
Okay, for the chat. So thank you all again, like Kevin said, for being in the chat. Love you having you here. Elliot, they're just shouting out all their love for you. So I wanted to just start saying that, because they just like are like screaming your praises. They love the episode. So they're so happy to be here. And they're also laughing when I said to leave the kid.
Figure it out, kid. Figure it out.
Yes, you know what? Bye. But one of our favorites, Ivan, he wanted to ask that he knows that you kind of took a while with this story. And, you know, it kind of took a while to get to this point of being Motherland Fort Salem. So he wants to know how that felt for you, like how it felt to actually get to this point and deliver Motherland Fort Salem after all this time.
It was a really cool, long story. And I think this might be like a cool story for other creators and writers out there, because it was so long and so interesting. Like, you know, I had written a little bit of comedy on a show called The Big Gay Sketch Show that was on Logo in like 2006. And then I added...
I love that show.
Oh, thank you. I used to write with a partner, and then I no longer did. And then there were a lot of years in between kind of figuring out how to be a writer. And I had a movie that I was writing called Welcome to Me, which we eventually shot with Kristen Wiig. And it was this very strange movie, a very, very dark comedy in 2012. And I was sort of in bed with these great producers, Adam McKay and Kevin Messick, on Welcome to Me. And I walked in with this idea about a witch army and a show called, at that point, it was like a book series and a movie called Motherland. And they were like, awesome, awesome. Let's figure it out. Let's do like a movie series. Let's do a book series. And then Welcome to Me suddenly got financing. And it was like the thing that all writers like hope for like years and years and years of like something you wrote happening on a big scale. And we got financing, and it was about to happen. And this was way before Kristen Wiig. This was early stages, but we got somebody to invest some money in the movie. And then like the week later, it just fell through. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm telling this story is that by that point, I was so into Motherland that I was like, okay, this big break that I've been waiting for 10 years for just came and then popped. But you know what? It's all about the witches. And I feel like that's when you know something special, like mm-hmm. when it just feeds you that way and you kind of care more about it than other. Anyway. Long answer to your question.
It was perfect. Thank you.
I think from the very beginning, from the first episode, I have loved the way that you have kind of brought in themes from the outside world to the show to help us connect. I know from like the first show, you had the quote, "I am my ancestors' wildest dreams," and I like loved it and I resonated with it because of my ancestors. So I just wanted to know, what are some other things that you felt were really important to just drive home with this series, with this season and your seasons to come?
I just feel like you can't talk about America without talking about our like scary history, and you can't talk about early America without talking about slavery. So I think slavery was always sort of like in my imagination. Even the Salem Accord, which is the document that binds witches to service, I borrowed some of that language from slave code in Virginia in 1660, mm-hmm. when slavery became racialized and an inheritable condition. And like when I was studying history and I was like, an inheritable condition, like it's passed on, and that fed into the matrilineal stuff and how witchhood mm-hmm. is defined in this country. And even where Rael's from, like in this America, there was a point in history when Alder was going to die and they had to figure out how to keep her alive. And so there was, you know, in our real history, there is the history of the, you know, constant betrayal of the Native American people and these treaties that were formed and broken and formed and broken and broken and broken. I'm imagining in this world that at one point the government needed so badly to keep Alder alive that they cut a deal with a confederation of Native American tribes that actually gave them the magic that allowed biddyship to be happening. So biddyship is like where people can hold your age for you. So in exchange for that deal, this confederation of tribe was granted, instead of like little teeny reservations all over the country that are horrible and stuff, they were granted this gigantic swath of land right next to the Mississippi. So just picturing how America could have been different. I was thinking a lot about history. Not that I'm a historian. I'm not even that good at it. I'm like an art school dropout, to be perfectly honest. but like that kind of stuff interests me. And so that was deep in motherland from day one.
Mm, I can tell.
Awesome. Brian, let's go back to you.
Oh gosh. Okay. I'm looking at the chat here and they're popping off. I guess we should ask you, because I want to get your perspective. You know, we talked about how we are not the biggest Rael and Scylla fans, but the chat also wants to know, one, are we going to get more of them next season? And I want us to just know from my perspective, what are your thoughts? Like, are you actually for them?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think Scylla fell in love with her mark, and I don't think Scylla was faking it at all. I'm not going to promise that they're going to come back together or not.
I'm just kidding.
But I think they have a lot more to learn for each other. And I think they connected in such a deep way that they will always have a kind of gravity that it's kind of pulling each other towards each other. And their story is not over. But I think the love they had was real. Why do you guys not like it?
No, so I...
Because since she was on a mission, you're like, you don't trust her.
Yeah, so I honestly, for me personally, I did not like the relationship. I thought it was beautiful, especially painting a prominent LGBT relationship on screen was absolutely amazing. I just didn't like Scylla. So that was my issue. I was just like, not her, girl.
Just somebody else, some other terrorist. Yes,
literally, like, other terrorists. Like her and Tally, her and Abigail, her and Abigail's mom, I don't care. Like,
her and Abigail's mom.
Anybody, honey.
It didn't do it for me. No, I can't even like pretend, because I know the chat would call me out if I tried. But one, at first I didn't like Rael because she was late. I didn't like that she was late to class.
You don't like people who like mess up and be like sloppy.
Yeah, no. This is for the unit. And I always told them from day one, if you want to screw up on your own time, but not when it affects me. So that I already didn't like her.
You need to be at Fort Salem, by the way, P.S.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Anna. You know,
honestly, I could. But then also, I've probably been Scylla's biggest critic on this panel. But it was just relationship-wise, I didn't like how she was putting Rael in danger. I just was a strong believer that if you really care for someone or love someone, you don't do that to them. I said that in like a previous episode. I obviously didn't like that she was part of the spree that's going around killing folks.
Can I say one thing? Because you just said, if you really love somebody, you're not going to really hurt them. But that is what Scylla decided in episode 5. She was supposed to deliver her.
You know, it's
and then she was looking at that clock and she was having that slow dance. And she's like, I'm going to choose the right thing. She still didn't win you over then.
Yeah, no. Honestly, it didn't even.
That's fair.
No, I was still mad. Honestly, Elliot, I'm looking.
That's fair.
With you, I was still mad that she invited herself to the wedding because.
That was not okay. Okay, so she messed
plus
up.
One to a plus one. Yeah, no, she was already. The fact that she was at the wedding, Elliot, already.
Already wrong. You're so high Atlantic right now. I can't. Yeah,
I've been saying that from the beginning.
Not.
She is Abigail.
The whole panel.
I cannot.
We took the BuzzFeed quiz. I think it was BuzzFeed to figure out which character we were. Mm-hmm. And I tested for Abigail. So, you know,
you are very bellwether. You are by the book, and you don't like when people are sloppy and ineffective. No. You have no time for it.
Mm-hmm. It didn't do it for me. And it still doesn't do it for me. But maybe next season. I don't know. I don't think it's going to change me, but maybe I'll see the light somewhere. But
maybe we'll surprise you. That is what I hope to always do, is surprise people and show, as you guys were saying earlier, like show a layer that you were like, wait, huh? Like, I like to keep it interesting. So I'm going to try to get you back.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I'm open. Just not a lot.
Gunner, by chance. Do you have a question of a less divisive topic, maybe about the nature of the ethics of war?
Yeah. Before we all go to war with each other, I just want to say thank you so much again for coming on this and letting us talk with you, because this show has been so incredible. And I've been asking all the cast about what have their characters done for you. What is the process of creating this rewrite of history and creating these characters that are so pivotal, I think so motivational to men, women, any identification and any orientation? What has this been for you and been for your own character development?
I think it was a very reassuring thing. I can say that now because season one did well and mm-hmm. we got people interested and shooketh and, mm-hmm. and passionate and we got a pickup. But I guess I would say that I've always loved sci-fi and fantasy. Like, it has mm-hmm. always been my like, kind of secret joy, like my special place. And you don't always know if you can do something that you love. Like, I had written a lot of dark comedy, and that's a world that I feel very comfortable in. I created a show called Claws, which is very much a dark mm-hmm. comedy.
Love Claws.
And thank you. And I didn't know if I could do the thing that I kind of love the most, which is smart sci-fi fantasy, like elevated sci-fi fantasy that has something to say and just is kind of cool and fresh. Like, that was always the thing that made me the most happy as a viewer. I did not know if that would translate into making, because that always doesn't always work.
It's tough to get mm-hmm. stuff that
yeah, and I feel like it kind of did. So I have to say, I'm just like really touched and kind of shooketh myself that it came out well. And like, you know, it's not a perfect show, and what is perfect, and everybody's uh-huh. gonna feel one way or another, but I feel like even people who kind of like don't love everything, we're still sort of like, what is this, like, what is happening here, like mm-hmm. what is happening here? People are calling each other shipbird. it's a matriarchy, and it's a flip on white supremacy and gender politics and all mm-hmm. kinds of shit. And it's like, what is this world? I am just very tickled that people felt it, I guess.
Yes.
I want to say thank you so much, because you've just given this new place to television and the reality that we face and so many new voices. And I've been using the insult a soup kitchen of a unit since the wedding. That was the best line of this whole series.
It's so good.
I love it. I was like, when we talked to Ash, I was like, best line of your whole character. Soup kitchen of a unit.
She's had some good ones.
Right?
I still stand out from, you know, Witch Daddy. Like, I was like shook, shaken, and stirred over ice when she was like arching her back with the Witch Daddy. I was
arching like, and
get
and
it,
like,
girl.
Releasing
she was arching
this,
with the crown, like,
and she was singing. And
that's me when quarantine is over.
And it's like, you gotta love motherland because you can fuck for religion. You know what I mean?
Oh my god, I'm putting that on a plaque and putting it on my wall.
You have to have it on your wall.
I mean,
I think we might have time for another question. So, Brian, let me turn it back to you. I don't know if you've got one or if the chat ooh. Still has. I'm sure they're still right for
they
something.
Are, yes, they are popping off. Again, Elliot, they're just singing your praises. They love it so much. They are very passionate about Scylla and Rael. So I'm so sorry, guys.
They are. They ripped me apart.
But they actually, I guess it's kind of an easy way to kind of segue into season two. You talk so much about it, but they want to kind of know what's happening with Willa. So like what, just how are we going to like set that up? What can we expect with, of course, without giving too much away? Just like, what are we going to prepare ourselves for season two?
Yeah, well, we're going to learn why Willa did what she did. Why she left the army. We're going to learn something that's pretty interesting, which is that there's a lot of ex-army in the spree, because where else do you go?
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
So we're going to learn kind of what got Willa to that point. And we're also going to learn that there is a changing face of the spree, and she's really about that. We're also going to learn that the spree is not like one thing, and that there are mm-hmm. these mm-hmm. cells in Europe or Asia that are doing their own thing, and it's not just like this perfect thing. It's a bit more of a hot mess in a really dangerous way. So Will is right in the midst of that. So we're going to pay that off, and eventually we're going to, you know, Willa and Rael are going to see each other, but I don't want to say too much more.
Yeah,
but I mean, they have to, like, those two forces mm-hmm. have to touch.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm so grateful to Freeform and to the fans, like to the passion of the fans, because it was just so palpable, and that stuff is so meaningful. It's not, mm-hmm. it's, you know, numbers are important, but like people talking about it is so crucial now, and we really got that love.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if the fans want to keep showering their love and praises on you online, is there a place they can do that that works for you?
I'm not. Oh, boy. I am that dude. I am like Mr. Anti. I'm not anti, but I just don't. So, no.
No socials. Somebody in the chat actually put hashtag get Elliot on Twitter.
No, you know, Jessica Sutton, who you guys probably already know, she was like, what is that? What is happening? Like, just do it. Like, answer the call. Like, answer the call. So, I'm going to work on it. I'm going to work on it.
Get on TikTok. Well, you'll love it.
Okay.
We should do some Motherland TikToks. I'll be like,
can you imagine the dance numbers though?
Yes, let's do it. Oh my gosh, I am ready. All right,
you know what I want to do so bad next year, in addition to surprising and confounding and exciting you guys, I want to do a Biddy dance number so bad.
Oh, that's so cute. That would be hilarious. So,
please, they deserve it.
They need their number.
Once we saw the dance, I was like, okay, even at the top of the season, I need a musical episode. I have a feeling this cast will do so well. We know
Cheryl Lee Ralph.
Cheryl Lee Ralph can sing.
She can sing around the world. So yeah.
That's interesting. Maybe the Biddy's doing Say So by Doja Cat or Savage by Megan Thee Stallion.
Okay, Brian.
They're just
laughing. Totally choreographed perfectly.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, I'm so excited for season 2.
Yeah.
You guys, you say you're in the writer's room right now on Zoom, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
we're doing it, guys. We're working hard for you. We've got a really wild, 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 and really deep season. And again, I think it's going to be really cool to be out in the outside world. You know, Fort Salem is really cool, but what's it like outside? I think it'll give people more of a sense of like what Witchwood really feels like and is like. And yeah, it's just, it's wild. I mean, in terms of like you guys were saying at the beginning of the Zoom about planning like the book series as I did originally, like in 5 books, and we've got a civil war coming and we've got a world war coming.
What?
Come on.
So, all right. And one kind of leads to the other, and the place we leave season 2 is so dangerous and scary that I just cannot wait for you guys to see it.
All right, well, then fans, if your heads are still attached to your necks from not having exploded yet, get the word out that people nearly need to get behind the shield. Like, I'm so glad to hear it's a hit, but I want to make sure it stays that way because I gotta have.
You guys are going to get so much more. It's going to be great.
Can't wait.
On
that unfortunate note, we'll be back in a year.
You guys, I'm available. I'm like in my house. Anytime you guys want to talk about witchcraft. And
we will. I will hit you up.
That writer's room call. The three of us get on
send us the link.
You'll be there.
You know Abigail Stan over here is going to give you plenty of ideas.
I know you guys are going to give notes, too.
I'm going to put
five pages of notes.
I have a lot, actually. I'll get some of you.
Gunnar, let our fans, but also Mr. Lawrence's writing team, where they can find you. Tell them.
You can find me on all social medias at TheGunnarThomas, and you can also check me out on The Avatar, The Last Airbender After Show, and The 100.
Awesome. Tori, where can everyone find you online?
Where to find me on Instagram at Toxic Model or on Twitter at Tori with 2 E's, and where to send the Zoom link for the writer's meeting is like JK.
Bryant?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok as The Brian Santos. Catch me on AfterBuzz TV's Quarantine with the Stars. Lovers of Motherland, Fort Salem will love my interview with Kai Bradbury. It was an absolute pleasure, so check that out. And also, we do I don't love Stella, but love you guys for loving Stella. So that's all I'm going to say. Goodbye.
We do not.
I'm going to get you guys. I'm going to get you guys.
Yeah. I hope to be on board by next season.
Try at least.
Okay. I'll let you try.
A little bit. She's winning me over. Okay. I'm really excited to see what happens with her in the next season now that she's like out back at the house. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When she got home, I was like, oh, the look on her face, like, oh, she's, yeah. Anyway, everyone can find me on Twitter at Kevin Allen Graham, Twitter at Kevin Allen Says, Instagram at Kevin Allen Graham. And on behalf of my whole unit and everyone at AfterBuzz TV, Elliot, thank you so much for being
thank
here.
Thank you,
for
guys.
Everything you've shared with us. I hope you had a good time tonight.
You guys made my entire month, so thank you so much.
Awesome. Great.
Let's do it again anytime you guys want.
Yes, we would love to have you again.
All right. We'll get in touch, and we'll hopefully see each other before next season airs. But to our fans, we will see you when season 2 starts. Until then, stay safe out there, and the magic comes from within. So have a good night.
Answer the call. Bye.
Yes!
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.